Okay. Chapter 48, Selected Messages, Volume 3. And it's page 338 if you actually have the book, or if you're new here in the conference room online, which works on phones too, by the way. Up on the top, the chat room where it says Home, Heavenly Places, Sabbath Eve, and all that stuff, click Sabbath Eve. It'll look like you've left the room, but you didn't. It'll open a new window, and you'll be on the same page I'm on right now, page 338. All right, and for those of you listening on the phone, that URL is just too long for me to type out or tell you how to type out on the phone. So, but there are people reading along, so don't worry, we'll read along exactly. So, and this is what it says. Oh, and the title is The Bible Prophets Wrote for Our Time. Amen and amen. So, it says, never are we absent from the mind of God. God is our joy and our salvation. Each of the ancient prophets spoke less for their own time than for ours, so that their prophesying is in force for us. That is pretty neat. Let's see, each of the ancient prophets spoke less for their own time than... Yeah. I always, like, for example, I'm still in Ezekiel. I just switched to chapter 26 for tomorrow, for Sabbath day, because I like to give myself 2 days of no comments coming to mind. And I was in Ezekiel chapter 25 for about a week. Every morning I do, you know, I'll read 4 chapters, and Ezekiel happens to be one of them. Then, of course, some spirit of prophecy, and then I do the church studies. And so with Ezekiel, because he speaks a lot about our time as well as his time. And boy, I tell you, if every Seventh-day Adventist was to read Ezekiel and Jeremiah, or Jeremiah and Ezekiel, rather, they might leave that church, because it certainly does talk a lot about what the people of God are going to do in the last days in a bad way, and their just deserts for doing so. And so if an honest, truth-seeking, God-fearing, or God-reverencing, the true definition of that word fear, when it speaks of him, if they're in that type of mindset and heart set, if you will, they'll leave. Yeah, they read those books with a desire to know his will, he'll reveal it to them. But the reason I'd like to do this, the way I read Ezekiel, is because I don't want to miss anything, and I want to see if he's going to reveal anything. And so I'll go and I'll read it. And every day, if he gives me something new on another verse, I'll type it in my notes, of course. And then the next day, if he doesn't give me anything, I'll go one more day to see if he gives me anything. And then sometimes he will. And so I'll just do it again. And that's why it took a week. But today, it was the second day in a row I didn't get any new information from chapter 25. So I'm now in 26. And like I said, it's their prophesying is in force for us, as she's saying here. Then she quotes 1 Corinthians 10:11. It says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And then again she talks, echoes 1 Peter now, chapter 1, verse 12, that says, not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. It's interesting to them. Think about that. They desire to look into them. How many of us can't wait to open the Bible in the mornings or whenever you do it? I prefer mornings because I'm not going to start drifting off to sleep. But I want to start the day in his word, of course. When we're in heaven, let's say, you know, a couple trillion years, you know, we've been hanging out on some of these weird planets, and we always read his word and we're studying it on a regular basis. We desire to look into it because we get new information. If you're into wanting to know him and to know his truth, oh, you're going to desire to look into this, you know. Now, if you're a babe and you're not really getting, you don't really understand what I'm saying here, don't worry, you'll get there. Just keep, you know, he's watching you just as much as you're reading him. And what I mean by that is, an easy way to explain this is when you first start reading, especially if you're reading the King James, which you should be doing, don't read the NIV, which is the newly inconsistent version. Go to my page on the website called Bogus Bibles. You'll see what I mean. there's a reason those thousands of verses are missing in the certain areas that they're missing. It's because they uplift Vatican dogma. But you'll notice as you're reading the King James, and you stay with it, yeah, at first it's going to be a chore. It was like that for me and for everybody else. And you stick with it, and he's watching you. He sees you're serious about this, and so he's going to bless you. It's just like with the talents, too. You got one talent, run with it. Do what you can. Do what he has given you that you love to do in life and do it to glorify him, let's say, right? And then you run with it to the best of your ability, and guess what? All of a sudden, you get another talent. And then you get another one, you get another one, you get another one. It's just amazing how he'll keep, because he can trust you. If he can trust you, you're going to get what you expect. And yeah, and that's another, thank you, Pamela, and that's another thing that, one of the good things about the way the King James is written. You know, that old English, it has a tendency to make you want to dig deeper. Because I mean, you'll just start getting into it. You're trying to figure out, well, what does that word mean? And why did he kind of say that sentence backwards? In today's language, it's kind of backwards. Sometimes the way they talk, they put things in front and, you know, and stuff like that. And it makes it more interesting. And it's not that hard to understand Old English. It really isn't. And case in point, how many of us have come across people on the street? I think I was talking to Brother Mark about this the other day. Because I'm sure he's come across people like, well, we've all seen people that have done this on the street. But you come across somebody on the street and they'll say something to the effect that, yeah, I can't understand the King James. It's just, you know, the D's and the thous, it's all broken English. It's just really hard to read. It's hard to follow. You know? And I'm just going on and on and on, right? And then, and they're usually the kind of person that likes self glorification kind of a thing. And, yeah, you give it, you know, 30 seconds, a minute or two, and somehow bring up Shakespeare. You've all heard me talk about this, but for the sake of the new ones, this really works. Makes the people think, makes them realize, oh, well, maybe I should dig a little deeper. And you bring up Shakespeare, and some, you know, and you go, well, have you ever read Shakespeare? Do you like it? And the guy that said he couldn't understand the King James said, literally, I saw this, if I recall right, yeah, Shakespeare flows naturally. It's so poetic. It's so loving. It's just, oh, so easy to read. It's just, oh, it's fun. It's like reading poems all the time. It's just really, really fun. I said, did you know the King James is written in the same language? That's when you get crickets. But still, at least you could tell they're going to think about it. And it really does open up. I mean, it's childishly easy. Well, there's still areas in the scriptures that, you know, it's like sometimes I'll slap my forehead and go, what? It's kind of hard to get it sometimes. But he'll eventually open it up. It's one of those need-to-know things, you know? And yeah, and I actually found a Bible verse. You know how, like, you know, you're on the street and you're talking to somebody and you know this Bible verse. And you're waiting for the person to stop talking because the Bible verse is in your head. You're going to share it with them and it's going to work. You know it's going to work. It's an amazing Bible verse. You've shared it with people so many times in your life. It's amazing. And then when the person stops talking, you can't remember the verse to save your life. There's a reason for that. It's just like what John 14:26 says. He'll bring all things to our remembrance, whatever he said unto us. Well, the other flip side of that coin is, and I just emailed this to myself the other day, because I've seen him do this on the street. I know that verse. And then all of a sudden, it's like pulling teeth to get it out of my brain, and I can't get it out of there. And then I ran across, I think I emailed it to myself just the other day. Tablet. I'm looking for all my tablets, because I email from my tablet. Oh, maybe I didn't. No. Well, there's one thing in there. It says, do not preach this to Asia. And I think he was talking to Ezekiel. Say, do not preach this to Asia. Oh, no, I think it was to Paul. That's right. It was Paul. Don't go there. He was telling him not to go someplace and preach. There are times he's going to say, don't preach to them. They're going to take it the wrong way. Oprah Winfrey, case in point, heard about how God was a jealous God for some preacher on a pulpit. And she said from that day forward, she decided she wanted nothing to do with Christianity because God was jealous of me. Yeah, pride just exploded in her mind, and look at her now. It's all about self. She's she's a billionaire. What? For what? Talking on a talk show. And she still claims to be a Christian every now and then when it fits her agenda at that point. We've all seen the statements where she's talking about the New Age and about how there's many ways to heaven outside Jesus. We've all seen that video where that one woman steps up and she goes, well, what about Jesus? And she goes, well, what about Jesus? And she starts slamming him. This is, wait a second, Oprah, you said you were a Christian. But this is the way it goes in today's world. So she goes on, Sister White goes on to say, the Bible has been your study book. It is well thus, for it is the true counsel of God, and it is the conductor of all the holy influences that the world has contained since its creation. We have the encouraging record that Enoch walked with God. I remember doing a sermon about this years ago. If Enoch walked with God in that degenerate age, just prior to the destruction of the world by a flood, we are to receive courage and be stimulated with his example that we need not be contaminated with the world, but amid all its corrupting influences and tendencies, we may walk with God. That's why I did that sermon years ago. Just, it's in the sermon section, of course, and it just says Enoch. That's it. Because I, never mind. I really like happened with him. Or even Gideon, for that matter. That's, you know, in the 300. But anyway, she goes on to say that we may have the mind of Christ. That's how she ended it, rather, actually. And then the next page, 339, says, and this has got the subheading of Treasures for the Last Generation. She says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, was ever prophesying the coming of the Lord. This great event had been revealed to him in vision. Abel, though dead, is ever speaking of the blood of Christ, which alone can make our offerings and gifts perfect. The Bible has accumulated and bound up together its treasures for this last generation. Isn't that something? It all boils down to nothing. This is why the angels desire to look in this stuff. I mean, we are... Could you... Yeah, you could have been born 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago and wouldn't have seen any of this. Yeah, well, granted, you may have to deal with the Inquisition. That was prophetic in itself, but it was mostly a spaking, if you think about it, because the people were disobedient. Just like in the Old Testament, whenever the people of God were disobedient, they were, you know, besieged by Babylon or whoever and taken out. The only thing the prophets could do at that time was tell them to repent. And just like when they started keeping Sunday in 321 AD, after that, they didn't see any danger at all letting Catholics take civil office. And then in very short, what, two or three generations, the Catholics, with their civil power now, started killing Christians. Because they wouldn't go along with the way they wanted things to be done. So she goes on. She says, all the great events and solemn transactions of Old Testament history have been and are repeating themselves in the church in these last days. There is Moses, still speaking, teaching self-renunciation by wishing himself blotted from the book of life for his fellow men. And we all know about the book of life. That's going to be opened when the eastern sky splits. Actually, when the plagues begin. And that they might be saved. David is leading the intercession of the church for the salvation of souls to the ends of the earth. The prophets are still testifying of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. There, the whole accumulated truths are presented in force to us that we may profit by their teachings. We are under the influence of the whole. See, praise the Lord, we got 66 books. You know, but if we were Jewish Orthodox and didn't, and still, now I wonder, I got to tell you, because I know some Orthodox Jews, or Messianic Jews, better yet, because they do claim Christ Lord. I wonder if they even bother with Daniel, because they have been brought to call Daniel a false prophet, because of what he stated in regards to what was going to go down after they killed Messiah. They didn't like the idea that 3.5 years after Messiah shall be cut off, but not for his sins, but for ours, that probation would close on them. They didn't like to hear that. So, of course, from this day forward, or from that day forward, Daniel all of a sudden became a false prophet, just like today. All the churches out there don't like what Ellen White has to say about their preachers and teachers and leaders and their doctrines. And so guess what? Go to any Christian bookstore. You going to find anything about Ellen White? No. Not unless they're slamming her. So, going on. What manner of persons ought we to be to whom all this rich light of inheritance has been given? Concentrating all the influence of the past with new and increased light of the present, accrued power is given to all who will follow the light. See, that's another one of those blessings, those treasure house of blessings. Everybody's just, you know, blown off like it's no big deal because they're whatever their sin is, it could be anything from the flesh to things they put in the flesh for that matter. It could be alcohol. They give it all up for that fleeting moment. Like the guy on the Skid Row for 44 years, listening to a preacher three times a day if he wanted to eat a meal, and still dies on Skid Row drunk as a skunk. How much did Christ love you to... I mean, that's how much the Lord loved him, to allow him to be homeless, so that, like the thief on the cross. The Lord loved him so much that he allowed situations in his life to get to such a point that he would be hanging on a cross next to Jesus. I mean, as little as that man understood about salvation, he ran with it. And to this day, we speak of him. One of the shortest ministries ever, and yet, 2,000 years later, he's still being mentioned. And we will meet him. He will be in the kingdom, because Jesus said he would. And that's without that comma in the wrong spot, by the way. Heaven didn't start back then. It'll start when that eastern sky splits. Well, unless, of course, you're Moses, Enoch, Elijah, and the 24 elders that came out of the grave when Jesus came out of his. So she goes on. Their faith will increase. The ones that follow the light. Their faith will increase and be brought into exercise at the present time, awakening an energy and an intensely increased earnestness, and through dependence upon God for his power to replenish the world and send the light of the sun of righteousness to the ends of the earth. Amen and amen. God has enriched the world in these last days proportionately with the increase of ungodliness. And that's one of the neat things that I've always noticed. You know, some people say, oh, the world. Oh, yeah, that reminds me of that one guy when I first moved away from the city and I ran into this old man that needed help around the house, and I figured an opportunity to minister. He was giving a mere pittance to work there, but the opportunity was I was able to be there and share with him. He knew I was a preacher, and he also knew I was a computer programmer, and that's one of the reasons he wanted me there, because he always had these computer problems, right? And I never forget the one day he told me, he says he believes that Satan's more powerful than Jesus. I says, why? He says, well, there's a lot more evil people than there are, Christians. I says, well, that's because people are extremely weak. But like she says here, but God has enriched the world in these last days proportionately with the increase of ungodliness. If his people only lay hold of his priceless gift and bind up their every interest with him. In other words, for every 1,000 wicked people, if there's one Christian, that their faith can literally... balance the truth, if you will, or the agenda of our God, the will, to where the truth will go forth, and every ear shall hear it before every eye shall see him. Because it is prophesied. Everybody's going to have to make that decision. And that's where it's going to get a little bit scary for those people out there that may wish they were born 1,000 years ago. Because their decision will have to be made. Sometimes in front of a guillotine. And because they have no experience in Christ, their fear may overtake them, like Peter walking on the water. Had he kept his eyes on Jesus, he'd have walked right up to him and hugged him and stayed on the top of that water. But no, he decided to look around. Plus, he looked back a little bit too, didn't he? Pride got to him. Hey, guys, look at what I'm doing. Now, look what Jesus is doing. You ain't doing thing one, Peter. So going on. There should be no cherished idols, and we need not dread what will come, but commit the keeping of our souls to God as unto our faithful Creator. In short, he knows what he's doing. Just trust him. It's like what you were saying earlier. When I was a young man, I was afraid to die. Now, part of life. No big deal. Yeah, amen. Let's not be like Lot's wife. Turn around and, desire the old world. Just can't give it up. I can't believe my friends and my connections and all the baubles of Sodom and Gomorrah are being destroyed. I hope that all this noise I'm hearing and all those meteors that are going overhead are just in my mind. I gotta see if my beloved city is getting destroyed. And sure enough, she turned into a pillar of salt. She couldn't give it up. So she goes on. He will keep that which is committed to his trust. This is a God who will do this. This isn't no mere man that's making these suggestions. This is the Creator of all that is seen and unseen. There's no two ways about it. When he says, you better believe it, and that should settle it. Because he's not kidding. So many people out there think it's not the end times. Or better yet, they'll say, yeah, okay, fine. All those prophecies that the Bible said were supposed to happen, okay, fine. You guys got us there. They've happened. We you know, if you just do a slight, even a babe in Christ type of study in eschatology, you know, like where you match historic evidence with biblical prophecy, you say, okay, fine, it all happened. But those last few prophecies that talk about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist and all of a sudden, no, that's just not going to happen. Especially when those false prophecies start messing up. Like the seven-year trib, for example, or the secret rapture. Okay, one of these days I'm going to do a study on this, just for the sake of making a video, to show those people out there that had declared that when the 7 years begin, certain prophetic events will happen after that day. Okay, well, and I've mentioned this a few times in some videos and some sermons, but I've never actually put pen to paper and actually did a video on this subject, and I'm thinking maybe I should. Or maybe one of you guys should do it, huh? And I got to ask them, your seven-year trib theology, or better yet, your secret rapture, things, certain things aren't supposed to happen until you're gone. Well, I got to ask you guys, why are you still here? I mean, seriously. If that theology about the secret rapture is true, you're not supposed to be here. That if, in fact, you're the Christian and I'm not. Because of the fact of the matter is, a lot of the prophetic statements that you make that are supposed to happen after the secret rapture have already happened and have been documented as happening. That's why a lot of them are changing their theology to 3.5 year or post-tribulation. A lot of them are flip-flopping now. They won't just throw their hands up and say, oh, we messed up, like they did back in 1844, which was prophesied to happen. It was prophesied for them to mess that up. So they did right by messing up, in fact. And so, I'm really tempted. So, you know, I usually don't go that far. Like a lot of the web pages and a lot of the videos are actually answers to questions, and it's for loved ones or church members that may be lured away by a liar. Let's just put it plainly, okay? A liar for the enemy of souls. A lot of the web pages were in fact written for people that I was concerned about, and I would send them the study and then, of course, make a web page because I've, well, you know, since I did the work, I'm even thinking of taking and transcribing all my sermons and Pastor Craig's and just make web pages. Just do that, you know, but that's going to take a while. If you've seen how many sermons we got on the sermon page, woo, that'll take a while. So I just, you know, anywho, you got to have some pretty good transcribing software. But anyway, I just noticed. Now, isn't this neat the way our Father does this? You know how the praises went a little long today? I was a little late starting because my water heater decided to possibly explode. And so, you know, we were running a little late. We are actually starting a brand new chapter right now. So finish the chapter. Exactly, Eli. Amen. Amen. So hope and pray you were blessed. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us the way you have. Thank you for bridling my tongue and bridling any tongue that spoke tonight so that you are the one being glorified. And thank you for letting these seeds be planted well and have good water upon them when the time comes upon them or us. And thank you also for blessing us with opportunities to share these seeds with others and let that seed be watered as well. Again, we uplift all those that are on our prayer list, all those that have been mentioned in the text chat, and all those that are in attendance. Thank you so much, Father, for loving us the way you do and blessing us with salvation and for forgiving us when we fall short. And thank you for giving us a desire to please you and have a contrite heart. And thank you for accepting this prayer in the way that we pray it, as weak as we pray. And we offer this to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior, and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.